You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, folks, it's We'll See You in Hell. We're all back again. The old podcast you love. It's brought to you by the Fangoria Podcast Network. You want some info on the network? Maybe this program, other programs, We'll See You in Hell. Find old episodes. Go visit Fangoria.com. Pat, the magic's gone with this intro. I can't read this goddamn thing anymore.
It wasn't great.
No. Can you start reading it for a little while?
I think the people want that, and I was waiting for you to extend that offer to me, as I think we all were. It's forced. It's desperate a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the tail end of a 6-month run.
Yeah.
Of Oklahoma, like we're just, you know, it's the matinee show. I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
There's a soft golden haze on the meadow. That's the first song from Oklahoma, which Joe is apparently unfamiliar with, despite making the reference.
I don't know any of the songs.
I was in Oklahoma in high school, and I was great, frankly.
I was in Oklahoma last week.
Okay.
At the Ha Ha. See, I was doing a location joke. Yeah.
I also portrayed Danny Zuko in Grease.
How?
Well, very well.
I mean, you couldn't resemble an Italian less.
You know, it's Missouri high school. Like, it's not like we had, like, a melting pot.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I also portrayed Miss Rosa Parks in the Rosa Parks story.
Sure.
I refused to move to the back of the bus in a very tasteful blackface.
Sure.
No, that's not true. But I played the Tin Man. I was quite a performer. I played the juror in 12 Angry Men who's like, "You bunch of idiots!"
The one that's like, "My son hates me," at the end. You in high school, you played this role.
That's right.
It's pretty heavy for a high school play.
Look, I was a thespian. And that's what you want, folks, is for your principal to announce loudly over the intercom while you're amongst your peers and being bullied every day that you're a new addition to the International Thespian Society.
Well,
because I don't know if you're picking up on it, but it sounds a good deal like lesbian. I tell you, my classmates definitely picked up on it.
That's an old Golden Girls routine.
What? That thespian sounds like lesbian?
Yeah. Yeah. And they, well, wait, no. Lebanese. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Lebanese, Rose. Lebanese.
Oh, yeah, Lebanese.
I just love, you know, just when I thought I couldn't be more impressed by my buddy Pat Walsh, find out he's covering roles that were portrayed from everybody from Travolta to Vic Tayback on the stage. That's very impressive to me.
That's right. A wide range. I didn't actually play Rosa Parks. I feel like I need to be
overly
sensitive today because I was called a racist twice today. And both I find equally ludicrous. The first was, of course, on Twitter, where even though I do shit on Trump pretty regularly, I never brought out that real awful element, you know, the whole other half of Twitter, until today when I tweeted, which I think is a decent joke, Ben Carson as the head of housing and urban development, what was Godzilla unavailable?
Right.
Because Godzilla destroys houses and cities.
Right, right.
I thought it was a very clear joke. And this guy...
I didn't even pick up on that part. That's a layered joke. I just thought, because he's a monster... And I thought it was very funny.
Oh, okay.
Well, but I'm impressed at the layering with the destroying of houses and cities.
Oh, I guess maybe it wasn't clear. Maybe I should clarify it.
Well,
because
look,
how somebody else took it on the right was that I was racist because Ben Carson is black and I guess so is Godzilla, except Godzilla's green
Sure.
Or maybe he thinks that dinosaur is a race. I didn't know. But once he did it, 10 other guys were like, you racist, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, here's the thing is, and I've noticed this, people that really are into the extreme right, the way they react to the PC police on the extreme left is they start to call you racist, ironically.
You think they were doing it ironically.
Yeah, they do it to be like, how dare you, you racist. You criticized a black person.
I'd buy
that. That's usually what they're doing. And then they try to, they do want to, a lot of the time, harm you
right.
with the words, but they're doing it under that guise usually.
Well, I mean, anytime you're called a racist, which I have been twice, I think, in my life, both this week affected me. The other was from a big fan of this podcast who tweets at us 10, 12 times every time we do a podcast. She's usually very delightful, a young African-American lady. And in the midst of like 10 great tweets about loving the show and this was funny and that was funny, and she said, we really do need to talk about Patrick's hatred of all black leads in movies. Why Pat doesn't like black actors.
I didn't see that.
And I stared at this for an hour, and I was just like, I'm not going to respond. Because I feel like on Twitter, if you respond to someone calling you racist, whether people want to or not, you're scrolling through on the toilet. You associate me with racism, kind of. If I'm suddenly engaging and defending myself against being a racist, yeah. I was like, I'm just going to let it go. The girl's clearly not out to get me. And I thank her for being a fan. But I kept thinking about it, and I was like, we've talked about so many movies, I've shat on so many actors, so many movies. All I remember doing is, I think it's on one that hasn't aired yet, but last week we recorded two. I talked about how charming and delightful Denzel Washington was, but that hasn't aired yet. And I was maybe the only person in the world to support Tyler Perry's Boo Madea Halloween
that's,
journey.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, if anything proves that Pat Walsh isn't racist, he had the audacity to say Boo a Madea Halloween.
Yeah.
Would you just call it a Halloween journey?
Halloween Madea journey.
He had the audacity to defend that film. So
I was baffled, and I could see if like somebody was going through all our old archives and was like, I said something that could be construed as racist. I would believe that. I'd be like, oh yeah. I mean, we've done so many of these and drunk, and maybe something came off wrong or whatever. But to say like your problem is you don't like any black male actors. I'm baffled by that because I can't think of any black male actor I've shat on the show.
Neither can I right now.
Not a single one.
I can't either. Maybe she was just joking and it didn't land. You know,
that
I sent
happen.
You...
that can happen.
Without getting too into details, I sent you some texts a friend was sending to me the other day, and I said, Pat, is this person crazy or what? Like, look at these texts.
And I said, and yes, she is.
And you said, yeah, but she's trying to be funny right now.
Yeah.
Is what you said. You said what's happening is she's trying to be funny. It's not landing. And you're taking it literally. So maybe that's what happened with the tweet. Maybe she's just trying to be funny. It didn't land right.
In that case, I think it was a crazy person trying to be funny, which is a very hard thing to follow.
Well, let's not start calling the fans crazy.
No,
that's
I'm talking about your person.
Oh.
Now I'm going to talk about... Okay, so this tweet, and the young lady's name is Chanel. I won't say her last name because I don't want people to talk to her and harass her. She looks lovely as a child in her photo, or perhaps just a young boy who's a friend. I don't know. She says, we really need to talk about how no black male entertainers impress you. Then there's this frowny face, and then it does say LOL, frankly.
Yeah, maybe she's talking about me, because I really went hard on Tyler Perry.
Maybe. But, like, I was very confused. And black male entertainers, and I don't think I've talked about any black male entertainer in a negative way.
Madea is really stuck in my head right now. I can't really think of.
I loved it. I mean, I just booked tickets to see The Weeknd on November or January 3rd, December 30th.
So what are you seeing?
The Weeknd.
Oh, the musician.
Got a poster up of him in my home.
I swear to God, I thought you meant Tyler Perry was doing a play with Madea in it called The Weeknd, and you were going to go see it.
No.
Paramount or whatever.
I mean, I'm not going to be the guy who starts listing off all the black entertainers I like and my black friends, but I was shooken up. I love all entertainers, particularly black entertainers.
I don't think you're defending yourself hard enough right now.
The extremely sexual music of the weekend brought my girlfriend and I together. Honestly, it was the first show we ever saw. We sat in the front row before he was famous.
We all know you're not a racist.
Now we're going to see him on New Year's.
This man played a slick-haired ginger Danny Zuko. any racist would have spat at the idea of playing an Italian man as a redhead.
I don't see race, frankly.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Did you see? Oh no. Now here's what I did, and I know this hasn't aired yet. Because we did two, so sometimes you get confused which one's aired and which hasn't. But in the one that's coming up, we discussed how. Oh no, we did. This was the Kilbourne one. I discussed how I don't like Trevor Noah.
Oh, maybe that's what she's referring to.
And you agreed that you don't like Trevor Noah, but I just got singled out for some reason. Now, since then, that amazing Trevor Noah interview with that Tomi Fox News bitch aired, and he eviscerated her for 30 minutes. I watched this interview, and I was like, what an incredible interview this is. And I loved that. But, you know, night by night, I don't think Trevor Noah is hilarious. Also, I don't know if you could find a whiter black man. Now, that's probably racist. I don't know, people.
Listen, man, you're really on pins and needles today, man.
Well, I think...
Look, it happens. Trust me. I've been at the receiving end of a lot of Twitter hate over the years. It's people say things, and I've had people actively try to destroy me.
No, I know.
Like I was some sort of evil, like, business landowner or something.
Right.
Like, you know, so I wouldn't worry about it. I think she was just having a little fun.
She was. And now that I see the smiley face, I don't know why I overreacted.
You didn't overreact. You got a little rattled, and that's part of life, you know?
I just know that that's not what's in my heart. Isn't that what Michael Richards said on... when they brought him on Letterman in the most awkward interview of all time?
Yeah. I'd say the more you talk about it, the deeper a hole will get.
I'd like to dig into shit that's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I had a situation the other night because I said on stage at my, we do this hip-hop comedy show called Can I Kick It? And at the top of the show, I said how I didn't vote. And that's not I've learned not a great thing to say in front of an L.A. audience.
Let me stop right there.
They're not very...
What's wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong with me. What's right with me is what you should be asking. What's wrong with all of you?
No,
look at what you've all done.
I know that you did.
Look at what you've all done.
Please do not include me in that. But I know you didn't vote. I don't agree with it. My go-to statement is, not voting is like not applauding at a concert. It makes no difference, but I do it because I'm not an asshole. That's how I feel about
voting. Well, that's a terrible reason to vote.
Maybe it is. But I think people would say that you vote to, you know, people fought for your right, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't vote, fine. And I think probably some of these people who are going over the top about voting, maybe some of them didn't make it to the polls either, but just like to talk about shit. But when Joe says on Twitter the other day, I didn't vote, blah, 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 and then is... texting me like, why are people upset?
No, that's not what I did. That's not what I did. Let's not contort history here.
The gist of it was people are upset.
No. I made a point with the statement. I didn't tweet, hey, I don't vote, come at me. I didn't write that. What I said was,
you might as well have.
No. What I said was, I get shit for not voting, but what I've learned is when people are angry that you didn't vote, they're angry that you didn't vote for who they wanted you to vote for. Nobody ever says, thank you for at least voting for the enemy. That's a very valid point.
That's a valid point that I think...
And I was absolutely right in the response it got, because the response it got was everybody that loves Hillary being mad that I didn't vote for Hillary.
Yeah.
And then people on the left who I'm friends with who... didn't like Hillary and were mad at the left because of what they did, what they allegedly did to Bernie Sanders, then texting me and saying, and then defending me on Twitter and saying, you're getting bullied by Hillary supporters right now, which is exactly what happened.
That is
and
exactly
I,
what
and
happened.
And I also will take umbrage with this. I will also take umbrage with this. I consider myself a progressive. I do, honestly. I think that I'm a pretty open-minded and liberally-minded person. I don't vote. I don't subscribe to either party. I have never voted. But it bothers me when the team that waves the progressive flag the hardest starts coming down on you because you didn't do it the way they wanted you to do it or the way they think you need to do it, I think is kind of bullshit. And I saw it a lot when people were being chastised because they supported Jill Stein. People were being chastised because they supported that other third-party guy.
His name is Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson, excuse me. People were being chastised because they liked Bernie. Bernie himself was chastised. And really what it came down to was we've now muscled in this candidate, which is fine. I don't give a shit what you think about Hillary Clinton or not. But then don't tell me that I'm a fucking asshole because you shove me into the ring of something and go, you now participate. No, I don't have to do that. And I happen to truly believe that not voting and people bucking the system and giving the middle finger up will potentially could potentially change things. I don't believe that playing ball, as we always have all the time, is doing a goddamn thing. Because every 8 years, half of this country is telling me that our country is over and it's the worst it's ever been. It happened at the beginning of the W. Bush administration. It happened at the beginning of the Obama administration. It's happening now again with Trump. The things people were saying to me about Trump, who I think is a douchebag, and I'm not happy about that guy being in office, but the stuff people are saying to me, I'm like, this is literally the same thing everybody was saying to me about Bush. And this is literally the same things I read liberal or conservative people saying about Obama. And you know what? My life hasn't changed that much since either of the presidencies were in the course of action and have ended. So do I think Trump's an idiot? Of course. Do I think he sucks? Of course. Do I like the guy? No. But am I going to get into a goddamn white-knuckle panic and think that my world is going to end with a mushroom cloud tomorrow? No, I'm not doing that either. Sorry.
No, that is not going to happen. But I think things are going to get quite bad. I never heard anybody say that around the time of Obama. All I heard was hope. But then I wasn't living in, you know, racist bumfuck town.
Well, that's why I say the things I read, because it was because I lived in New York when that happened, and it was a very hopeful time or hopeful spirit in New York. But if you went online and read, or if when I went home and talked to people in the neighborhood I grew up in, the older people, not people my age, but, you know, adults, maybe friends of the family, whatever, dude, they were talking about Obama like you would have thought, goddamn, to take a line out of your book, Godzilla was in office. I was just like, right. What the fuck?
Right.
So my point is I just refuse to play that game. I have no stake in any of this. I try to be a good person in the day-to-day. I try to love the people around me.
Yes.
I do think that
But you're not changing anything by not voting. That's absurd.
I think if a lot of people didn't vote, and there are...
A lot of people don't vote. It doesn't matter.
There are other believers in the movement out there. There is support of a non-voting movement out there.
That's not a movement.
Well, why is it not a movement?
That's doing absolutely nothing. Because this is what the rules are. You staying home and sleeping in does not change anything, nor will it.
So then,
if you were to go, you know, I don't know, protesting doesn't seem to do a great deal, except sometimes it does. Look at this the Native American situation going on now. I'm not saying I have gone to protests or anything either. Writing a letter to your congressman probably doesn't do much, but people do that. I'm just saying, you saying I'm going to do nothing is certainly not going to change anything.
I don't think it's doing nothing. I think it's saying...
It is doing nothing.
I think it's saying you're participating...
Because you're not actively going out and saying, like, trying to rally people to
okay.
as a non-voting collective.
And if I did, would I still be doing nothing?
No, you'd be doing something. I think it would be probably a waste of time, like anything else. But
it just makes me laugh as a guy who has, quite frankly, done a lot of news television over the years, and has very much slugged it out face to face with people like Ann Coulter on TV for my values, and been chastised regularly for them. For saying that I didn't believe in God and or I believed in certain female freedoms like abortion or whatever on channels like Fox News, and then getting a shitload of stuff, sticking up for feminism, speaking out against racism, these things. I've actually done these things publicly. I've put my money where my mouth is for the things I believe in, and I've paid the fucking price for it, and I still haven't stopped. So it just kind of makes me laugh a little bit that in this one situation, I go, hey, actually, I don't vote, and I have a reason for not voting, And it's just, it's an unspeakable offense to so many people I know.
I think my point to you was you seemed bewildered at the anger that was coming to you.
I was a little bewildered at the amount because I think if you're going to claim to be a progressive, you have to be open-minded to all types of progressive thought, not just your own. So when you attack,
sure,
instead of trying to understand, now don't get me wrong, everybody that was on me apologized. I had other friends stick up for me.
Right.
It ended up being a very fruitful experience.
But when the country is mourning, in a sense, I mean, there's no jokes on Twitter anymore. It's essentially just people, woe is me, the world is ending. Some doing something, some just simply tweeting that the world is ending, and they're doing nothing either. But you can't be surprised when you enter the fray 3-4 days after the election. You're like, I didn't vote. People, of course, are going to be upset with that because they feel like you're not with them.
But that's
my point. I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
That's the point of the tweet.
If you're going to announce I didn't vote, you can just not vote, and that's it.
But that's the point. That was the point of the tweet. You're not mad that when all those people reacted and said you're an asshole because you didn't vote, when I started to say, so let me get this straight, had I voted for Trump, would you not be mad at me right now? And then the response to that was, bye. I'm
right.
not doing this.
Sure.
And it's like
they would be more mad at you if you voted for
so
Trump.
Then that's the only
than
point
not
I'm
voting.
Trying to make.
That's for sure.
Don't mask your recruitment as patriotism or something like that. Or, you know, don't try to make it look like you're doing anything more than saying, do what I want you to do right now.
Sure.
That's all that is.
I think if you had, which would have been perhaps more cowardly, if you had dropped I didn't vote from the start of that statement, you would have, I think, had a much more interesting conversation.
I did drop that.
Involve personal attacks with you.
I
no, the tweet said, I didn't vote, but...
Had I not, you mean?
Had I not, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said, had I.
No.
Well,
yeah, if you would drop that, then it becomes less personal and it becomes a statement you're making.
Well, and
if you're saying, I didn't vote, you're going to of course you're going to piss people off because everyone's like... It turned out to be, although it, you know, nobody really seems to know what the actual results of this election were... It seemed to be a situation where it came down to a few votes in some places. California is never going to be one of those places, frankly. But it's hard for people to see not voting as anything other than not giving a shit about this right that many, many countries wish they had, was a right to a free election.
That's just tough for those people, and they have to be able to see past their own perspective. That's all.
Sure.
I'll tell you this, and I am in no way comparing myself to Rosa Parks, okay?
Oh, my God.
I am in no way comparing myself to Rosa Parks.
Just saying that, it seems like in a way you're about to.
No.
Go right ahead.
But to use a very extreme example, you look at any person that's ever made a difference socially ever, it's never been met with open arms. It's been met with people completely chastising it. People who you think
Joe,
are on the right side of history,
you not voting is not that. It's
dude,
not that.
There are other people.
We're all vote. The world is voting.
Yeah.
That's our system.
Stupid. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. The Electoral College doesn't work.
But you not voting will not and cannot change that. That's an absurd thought.
If you can start a movement of people not voting and you get enough people not to vote, it could. It
are you
could.
Doing that?
I've supported it online, but no, I don't do anything any more than you guys do.
At the end of the day, it's
so
there's no difference between you and the guy
and
who's hung over and doesn't go vote.
No, and you. There's no difference between me and you.
Well, the difference is that I voted.
We're all stroking ourselves in different... Big deal. Didn't do anything.
No,
all
that's
that
correct.
Hope you felt when
and
you
I
pulled
sat
that
here on
lever.
This couch and said I knew it wouldn't do anything, and then I thought Trump was going to win. You almost couldn't say Trump is going to win at my work without people yelling at me. I was like, he is, and he did. And that's terrible, and while I may agree that it's sort of futile, I really have to take issue with you acting like you're some sort of social justice getting an extra
please,
hour of
never,
sleep.
Never put that title on me.
Or
please.
Whatever it is you think you're doing, or
no.
Starting a movement, or effecting change like Miss Rosa Parks, which you're
as
just
I
not
said,
doing.
I was using an extreme example.
Yes.
And my point is if you want to be a group of open-minded people, don't act like the people throughout history who have oppressed anything that wasn't perfectly aligned with their way of thinking. That's a very fair point to make. I am not saying I am doing anything as important as Rosa Parks. I know that. That's absurd.
I mean, there are the people who affected change and everyone thought they were crazy are throwing, you know, burning bricks into buildings and getting out there and, like, butting heads with people and stuff. Not voting is not that. It just isn't.
Well, I'll tell you this. I will tell you this.
That's what you need is more coffee.
I'll tell you this. When I was on,
pouring himself a cup of coffee.
I remember a time being on Fox News and the thing about West, the former general, Army General West, when he, after he left the chambers, I forget who the female senator was, but she criticized a bill that she was opposing. He then wrote her a letter that said, "You didn't act ladylike."
Yeah.
You know, it was a really, like, demeaning, sexist thing. We talked about it on Fox News. I said on Fox News, I'll tell you who's acting ladylike is West because he's being a little bitch right now. I had people telling me that they were going to come to my show and punch me in the face.
Sure.
For insulting. And you know what the response was? You know what the response was from my open-minded friends? Why did you say anything? Why say it? Why say it? You know those people will react that way.
Right.
Funny enough, now all my open-minded friends are saying the same thing, but as many of them act just like those people did, with venom, with blind attacks, and once again, it boils down to, why did you say anything? Why do you have to say anything? Well, let me ask you this. If we live in a world where half the shit you say is going to piss off the right, so you shouldn't say that. The other half of shit you say is going to piss off the left, so you shouldn't say that. You can't even tweet something without getting jumped on. What fucking difference?
You can't compare Ben Carson to Godzilla anymore.
What fucking difference is anybody really going to make? Doesn't it just kind of seem like this thing works the way it's going to work? And that every 8 years or so, the pendulum swings hard in one direction, and then it swings hard back in the other direction. We go from panic, 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 and consume to relax, everything's good, but still keep consuming. It's a fucking farce to me. It's a farce. I don't think that anybody from Trump to Obama to Clinton to fucking Abraham Lincoln was going to get anything really done when they stepped into office because the powers that be will not allow it, and we've seen that.
Well, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, Joe,
and then he was murdered immediately after.
Yeah, but he freed the slaves.
So don't you think that doesn't it seem suspicious to you?
I mean, you can't say Abraham Lincoln did nothing.
I'm not saying he did nothing.
You're a very passionate speaker, so sometimes it's hard to not go, no, that's crazy. But it's, sometimes you have to. Whether you're talking about Doc Strange, M.D., Or comparing yourself
to
Rosa Parks.
You don't think it's strange that our most progressive voices in America have all been silenced, have all been assassinated? You think that's just a coincidence?
Of
Malcolm X,
I don't.
Martin Luther King,
but
the Kennedys.
But those people.
The Kennedys, by the way, who were scumbags, but progressives politically, at least.
What show are we doing here?
We're just talking politics.
All right.
Can we not talk politics?
We can talk politics, but I mean, I see this getting further and further carried away.
Well, I can get carried away.
I know.
I mean, how much do people really want to hear about Lights Out? We'll get to it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. Bothers me when people that so vehemently defend free speech tell me I shouldn't say certain things. That bothers me.
No,
I didn't say anything hateful.
I'm saying, because I've been on the receiving end of several texts where you're upset that people are upset.
I'm
saying
annoyed.
If you don't want people to be upset, don't say the thing. You can't stroll out into the public forum of Twitter with all your followers and say you didn't vote and be surprised when people are upset by that.
I'm not surprised that people get upset by that. What I'm surprised by are the types of people that get upset by that.
Sure.
When if you say to me, Pat, if you say to me, hey, man, I got a real open mind, dude. Like, I'm just like all that hate shit out there, all that bullshit, all that discrimination. I'm not with that, dude. I'm not that dude. And then I go, Pat, that's great. Can I tell you something? I love Jesus Christ. And then you turn around and go, oh, you're a fucking idiot. Really? The fucking Catholic. And it's like, dude, you just told me that you're open minded. And I trusted that and whatever. Now, I'm not saying everybody on Twitter is open minded, but I'm just saying the people I got shit from were open minded. And again, it's all settled. But it does kind of, it's an interesting thing to talk about.
Just because, you know, I'm pretty apathetic to all this shit anyway. We're probably not that far divided from each other, except I voted and you didn't. That's not that big of a difference at the end of the day. But let me ask you, if you said, I'm open-minded, you can say anything to me, I'm open-minded. And I say, well, I fuck my dog.
Right.
Then can the person be outraged? Just out of curiosity. Are you supposed to be like, yeah, cool, man?
Well, I would say that's illegal, so you shouldn't do that.
Okay. All right.
Now, maybe somewhere down the road, the pets get those brain helmets. They start talking. They say, we want you to fuck us. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd say outside of things that are not hurtful, and here's why I could theoretically pass some judgment on that. Pat, we have no idea if your dog wants you to fuck it or not. You might be hurting your dog, at least emotionally.
I tell you, if you've fucked your dog in front of a mirror, as I have, and seen that face, that ecstatic face, as I thrust away, I don't have a dog, folks.
You have a cat.
I do have a cat.
And the only reason it hasn't been fucked is it's too,
actually,
it's too spry. Is that the word?
Yeah, too spry. The cat, it's very weird. The second my girlfriend goes to bed, the cat jumps onto my chest. And it sits there until I go to bed. Like, it waits for her to go to bed, and then it's like, now you and I can have our time.
Well, it's waiting to steal your breath,
and
obviously.
It's a female cat, and it stares in the... I'm always very uncomfortable with extreme eye contact. It stares at me in the eyes until I look away. I'm like, that's enough. Then it'll reach out with a paw and caress my face, and I start to feel like, is this cat putting the moves on me? I get uncomfortable every night with this cat. And I don't know what to do about it.
I'm
not going to fuck the cat, folks. That's not where this is going.
It's, you know, to bring it back to politics for a second.
This is a political
conflict. Cats are Clinton, dogs are Trump. Okay? Trump is a big, dumb dog.
That's fair.
Who sometimes is kind of playful.
Yeah.
But it bites the shit out of people. And you're like, we can't put this dog can't be near anybody.
Yeah.
You got to just put it in the other room and just let it be a dog. Clinton's like a cat. You're not going to get too much trouble out of her.
Yeah.
She's going to do her shit behind the couch, but she's creepy and weird and cold, and it freaks you out.
And you can break her again and again, and she just keeps coming back for more. Dogs get their feelings hurt, and then they tweet all night about Saturday Night Live when they're supposed to be running the fucking country.
Yeah.
So in conclusion, this is how we're going to wrap our political discussion. Hillary Clinton is cats. Donald Trump is dogs, and Ben Carson is Godzilla. Now let's talk about Lights Out. I'll see you in hell. You know I will. I'll
see you in hell. You know I will. All right.
I know you hated this movie.
No, we got to do your movie corner first.
Oh, yeah. I like this. Here's how this podcast is going to be like one of the old podcasts where at the end we're like, oh, yeah, we were talking about Lights Out, by the way. We didn't like it.
Look, Lights Out, there's not going to be a ton to say. So.
Yeah, the movie's 80 minutes. I don't have much to say about it. But my movie roundup, I saw, what did I see last night, for Christ's sake? I saw The Edge of 17.
I heard it's fantastic.
Folks, it's fantastic. I sit around personally wondering why those old 80s, there was a teen movie every week in the 80s. John Hughes, of course, being my favorite. Then the 90s brought us another great run. Of course, American Pie and those. But there's lots of other better shit down the way. Going down to like Ghost World, if you want to get real artsy.
Sure.
But even more mainstream shit that I think was really great. Josie and the Pussycats is a genius satire of teenagers, I think. Edge of 17, it would have fit right in to one of those late 90s classics. One of those John Hughes types movies. It's fantastic. The writing is fantastic. It's very funny. There's a guy who's really in love with her at school, who's one of the most realistic dorks since like the Anthony Michael Hall days.
Beautiful.
It's this Asian kid. I really wish I knew the actor's name because
I love it.
He was so fucking funny. Like everything he did, lines that weren't laugh lines were cracking the audience up because it felt real. And I knew the movie was produced by James L. Brooks. It felt a lot like his old classic shit, a lot of like old Cameron Crowe shit, where every moment feels so real that you're just laughing because you're like, I've been that person. I recognize that. It was
great.
What else did I see? I saw Army of One, which is a Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, man, I want to see that so bad. That's out?
Yeah, he plays the guy, a guy who, basically a crazy middle-aged guy who God spoke to him, and he decides he's going to kill Osama bin Laden. God is played by Russell Brand in a very strange bit of casting. And, folks, I've loved Nicolas Cage in everything, the good shit and the bad. He was just ridiculous in this movie.
That's why I can't wait to see it. It looks like he's off his rocker in it.
Well, they show you the real guy, and he seems a little kooky. But for Nicolas Cage, they're like, you won't be able to tell the two of them apart. You will. Like, he could have played this guy kooky, and it would have been great. But he went so insanely over the top that I didn't even know what I was watching. And the movie is just stupid. It's Larry Charles, the guy who did Borat and Bruno and Seinfeld and Curb Enthusiasm. And I expected it to be a really great comedy, and it just was not. It was okay. a pretty damn bad movie, I'm sad to say.
All right.
I'm still pushing Bad Santa 2 off for our Christmas episode. I have a story to tell about that.
Okay.
You can wait. I saw L, which is the new Paul Verhoeven movie. Verhoeven did, you know, Basic Instinct, Showgirls.
Now, is there any clam in this one?
There is.
Because that guy loves showing clam.
There's nudity in it. It's a French movie. It's Isabelle Huppert, one of the most beautiful women in the world. She's in it, probably 50, 60 years old. Movie opens with a home invasion.
Uh-huh.
She is brutally attacked and raped by her invader.
Yeah.
He leaves. Huppert stands up very calmly, goes, gets into the bathtub. She's got bubbles all over. And then blood rises up in the bubbles from her vaginal area.
Right.
Which is a very haunting and disturbing image that I have not been able to shake. And then the projector broke.
And that was it.
I was seeing an Academy Awards screening of it. They come in. They're like, folks, we're so sorry. The projector broke. We're going to have to start it again. So for a second time, this audience in this tiny, very like close to each other theater
sure.
has to watch this woman be brutally assaulted and raped. And then the blood rides from her vagina into the bubbles.
Oh, God, that is terrible.
And then, folks, the framing was off.
Ugh.
The subtitles were out of frame. So her son comes in, starts talking to her. You can't see the subtitles because they're out of frame.
Oh,
once
God.
They re-spliced it, they set it up wrong.
Oh, God.
So, folks, we watched her get raped a third time. So at that point, it's hard to necessarily say what I thought about the movie because I felt like I was in Clockwork Orange with my eyes taped open. But it was a very interesting movie, like all Verhoeven movies. Sorry, folks. Joe's texting.
I'm not texting.
With the sound on.
I'm not texting. I'm trying to look. I'm trying to find my review for later while you talk. It's called fucking double duty over here. I'm listening to you.
Probably could have done it before or at least turned the sound off.
Sorry. Sorry. Maybe I could have done it in the 30-minute late window waiting
yeah,
for
could.
You.
I tell Joe I'll be over when I get off of work. I don't know when I get off of work. I don't work at a coal mine where I punch out at 5.
You said I'll see you at 6:20, which was fine, and it was fine that you were late. But here's what Pat does, everybody. He doesn't text you at 6 to be like, hey, I'm going to be late. He waits till 6:25.
Because I still thought I'd be out at 6.
Sends the text at 6:25. Hey, dude, I'm still here. Sorry. Send it at 6 and say, hey, dude, I'm going to be late. That's
because
okay.
I didn't know. We're supposed to be out at 6.
At 6, you know. You're not out.
Yeah, but I thought it was going to be a minute. And then I thought, well, I can get there in probably 10, 15. I told him 20. I can make this work. Then you start to realize you're not going to make it. You're not going to be 5 minutes, which is an understandable level of lateness. You got to text and say, I'm going to be a little later.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, just look, stay out of my lane. I'll stay out of yours. All right.
I'd happily stay out of your lane if you weren't loudly making noise on your phone while I'm talking about a woman being brutally raped.
Ignore it.
Telling a funny story about how we had to watch this three times.
Did I not laugh at the start over? I not go, oh, God, that the subtitles were out of frame?
Jesus Christ.
How was the movie?
It's not amazing, but it was very thought-provoking and interesting because she seems sort of indifferent to being raped, and the whole time you're like, what's going on here? And it's very uncomfortable. I liked that level of discomfort, and it led to a lot of conversation after the film.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
All right, you happy?
No, you know I'm not happy.
Why? What is the matter? You come over here, you take all the troubles of the office out on me.
There was no troubles in the office.
I'm not.
We just stayed 20 minutes later than I expected
I'm not your job. Okay. I'm your partner. And I want some,
yes.
I want my own pat time.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want leftovers.
You're getting it. You're getting it.
Which?
Well, I'd like a man who looks me in the eye and isn't over there on his goddamn phone.
I was just trying to find the review that, because I accidentally closed the window and I didn't want to stumble to find it later. And then as I was doing it, the phone rang and I didn't realize the ringer was on. And that was the noise you heard.
All right.
That's all. That's all it was.
All right.
God damn it. All right. Ooh. I've seen nothing.
Oh, great. That's great.
Well, I'm sorry. I haven't seen any movies since we last recorded. We recorded like 3 days ago.
I know, but I intentionally kind of split mine up because we also had a whole month apart that you might have seen more than a movie, but I guess not.
Sorry that I was running around the entire world trying to pay my rent, you know?
That's
I
fine.
Didn't have time to go fuck around with a box of Juju Fruits, okay?
I've never eaten Juju Fruits.
James L. Brooks movie. Must be nice, Pat.
It is nice.
But some of us got to work for a living, you know?
Yeah, I also work. That's why I was late this evening.
I haven't seen any movies since we last met. But that's why it's called Pat's Movie Corner.
Well, pretend you saw the last movie that I'm going to say, Magnificent Seven. Tell me what I thought of Magnificent Seven.
I know what you thought of it.
Go on.
The text that you sent me said, watching Magnificent Seven... Oof.
That's exactly what I thought about it. Oof. And I was popping off texts left and right. I didn't touch my phone during this Edge of 17 last night. I was so caught up in this teenager's life. And Magnificent Seven, I'm like, I might as well have been playing fucking Screwed on my phone or whatever that game is.
I heard it was a fun movie. I still haven't seen it. I wanted to see it.
People really like it. And then a lot of people really hated it. And I'm in the later camp. It just, like, it fucking sucked. Like, I look forward to Westerns. And there was no fun in it.
Uh-huh.
D'Onofrio was great in it, Vincent D'Onofrio. He played a very weird kind of part.
Okay.
Everybody else, everything else. Like, it should have been one of those, like the Blues Brothers, where they're assembling the team, you know?
And everybody's, that's what it was.
Everybody's got their crazy. That's what it was, and yet it wasn't. Because nobody was interesting or fun or crazy or had any sort of personality characteristics at all.
I'm just going to throw this out there.
Yeah.
I'm predicting that Chris Pratt is going to be our next Sam Worthington, as in.
Oh, I think you're wrong.
As in, hold on. Can I finish the thought?
Sure.
This may be
the guy who yells at me for 10 minutes about voting.
This may be how it works.
Comedy podcast.
Look, don't bring your boardroom office energy in here. This isn't a pissing contest in here. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I know how it is on that lot. You guys fight. You're screaming at each other to get the best joke in.
Not at all.
I've heard many stories of Pat being heard through the windows on the lot screaming, how dare you fuck with my script? These are things I hear.
Folks, that never happened.
No. What I was going to say is I think Sam Worthington is a great actor, but I think... what the face?
He's average.
Chris Pratt's not a great actor.
Worthington is average at best. Pratt has charm to spare.
Sam Worthington has his career. He does his thing, and it's consistent, and there's a thing he does.
He's serviceable, is what I would say.
And Chris Pratt,
Pratt's
I find
charming.
The same way.
He's a movie star.
I find that if you take Chris Pratt out of being the smart-ass zinger man, it's pretty boring after a while.
Yeah.
So anyway...
And
whatever.
Even he was the smart-ass zinger man in this,
of
and it
course.
Was pretty fucking boring.
So my point is you got... Now, Guardians of the Galaxy was good, okay?
He was perfectly cast, yes.
Okay, great. We have yet to see what Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is going to bring.
That's true.
Jurassic World, snooze.
Yeah.
Apparently Magnificent Seven, snooze.
Yeah.
He's got that new movie out with Jennifer Lawrence. The billboard, I saw it, I almost fucking fell asleep at the wheel. The goddamn thing
it's
looks so
boring.
It's just
their two faces on a white background.
Yeah, I mean, so I think like he's the guy where it's like you're all supposed to love him and he's going to be in everything, but I don't think he's necessarily putting himself in the right stuff and making the right choices. And that's what happened with Sam Worthington. Sam Worthington was in everything for like a year and a half, every fucking blockbuster, and then they all weren't that great, and then that was kind of the end of it.
But he was picking like Man on a Ledge and shit that weren't blockbusters. He was picking like just bad movies.
I'm sure Clash of the Titans probably seemed like a surefire bet.
Maybe. Pratt's been in hits. Terminator, and I think people like
Terminator
him.
Salvation was, I mean, Christ Almighty, he was probably sure. Like, I made it. This is it.
Sure.
And, you know.
I think a big part of why, certainly why I like Chris Pratt is that he used to be a big fat guy. I think that helps a lot. It's a real rags to riches.
I'll tell you what I don't
and
like.
He's funny. He's not even Ryan Reynolds funny, but he is funny.
He's funny, but I'll tell you what I don't like, that he's not a big fat guy anymore. Yeah. I don't like all these fat guys getting thin. And I've said it for years now.
Yeah.
Don't care for skinny Seth Rogen. I want him fat again. And I'm thrilled that Jonah Ray ballooned back up.
Jonah Hill.
Or Hill, excuse me. Jonah Ray is our comedian, a friend of ours.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled that Jonah Hill ballooned back up.
Gains and loses 100 pounds monthly.
And I'm sure he'd like you to think he's doing some sort of De Niro method acting.
He does.
Thing,
he said,
but I don't think he is.
The fattest I've ever seen the lead in a movie, outside of maybe Orson Welles, was Jonah Hill in War Dogs. And I read some interview where he was like, yeah, I put on weight for the part. I looked up the actual man. The man is very normal size. It's just a completely ludicrous thing to say.
Oh, God. All right,
and the
look.
Thing is, Jonah Hill, he'll get a trainer and slim up, although he's never been slim.
He was on his way when he did 21 Jump Street, the first one.
Yeah.
He wasn't in shape,
but he was, you know.
But him and what's his name, Channing Tatum, were on the cover of magazines together.
Yes.
And it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like putting, you know, a fucking Volkswagen buggy on the cover next to
twins.
A Lamborghini. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was, God, my analogies are terrible anymore.
I don't know where that was going. I stopped it before it got too far.
A bad one and a good one. You know what I mean? They both look like handsome guys. And man, Jonah Hill's really getting himself in shape. And that's when I said, I don't like this.
Yeah.
So I started to mail him cakes.
Well, they always get him coming out of Froyo with, you know, if, like, at this point I get Froyo once a year or something with my girlfriend, but they have the one size that everyone gets. The normal size of Froyo. And then, like, the bucket that, like, you assume is for a family, but Jonah Hill's always coming out of there with, like, a bag and two buckets in it. So he's a guy who just can't control himself, and I get it. We all struggle.
Yeah, it's like the Seinfeld episode when Newman's in the frozen yogurt place.
Yeah, just, you know, it's just loaded with candy toppings.
Yeah, and he's just
he's not getting kiwi.
We got to get to this movie, Pat.
All right, fine.
We're 45 minutes in. We haven't
this
even
entire
talked
podcast
about it.
Has been a tangent.
Well, look,
which I like.
It's
frankly.
Never not been that way.
I almost said to you tonight after how long we talked about just Doctor Strange. I almost when I came in here was like, you know, we should allow it to be a little freer and go off on some tangents tonight because people like the tangents.
Well, you got your wish, didn't
this
you?
This has been all tangent. I didn't have to say a word.
Yeah.
Lights out.
I think it's been a tangerine dream, personally. That's just how I feel.
Malibu Nights, Tangerine Dreams.
Lights Out is a movie about... Now, it's based on a short film that won a contest. Did you know that?
I did. I haven't seen the film, but I did know that.
The short film is like 45 seconds long or something. It's so short. Maybe it's 2 minutes, but it's really short. And it's scary as shit. And I believe the lady that plays the secretary at the beginning of Lights Out is the lady that stars in the short film.
Okay.
But it's tremendous. It's terrifying. Very simple. She's in a hallway in her house. She turns the lights out. You see the shadow. Turns it back on. It's gone.
Basically the opening scene with the mannequin.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then at the very end is the reveal of the monster. And it looks way scarier in the short than it does in the movie.
Yeah.
So then they take this. They say, we're going to make it into a full-length film. I was partially...
Not even. I mean, it's 79 minutes long.
Yeah. I was partially excited when I heard it was coming out, but I had a big part of me that was like, this usually doesn't go well when they take something cool that's short and to the point and try to stretch it out. But if you haven't seen the film, Lights Out is about a ghostly apparition, a demon-type being or something that only appears in the dark. It cannot go into the light. If it goes into the light, it gets like burned. It starts appearing to various members of this one family. And then we go from there.
Right.
What's going on here?
Right.
And, of course, I was right. This is the first thing I'll say. They bring in the whole backstory of how the ghost came to be, and it's
a real, real stupid backstory.
It's terrible.
And the major undercurrent of the movie really is depression, and the mom is very depressed. The daughter is acting all superior to her mom, but seems very depressed. The son is depressed. It seems like the 10-year-old kid, and it's honestly a very depressing movie. Everybody seems down. The mom is played by Maria Bello, who's like not great in it.
Also, too, I always have a problem with this. I have a big problem with this. Two things. Number one, Maria Bello, great actor. Yeah. I'm a fan. Yeah. She's clearly had plastic surgery. Please don't cast. You get all the plastic surgery you want. But you want me to believe that this woman is like a broken down suburban housewife. You can't have her obviously having had four fucking facelifts. It takes away from the believability. They did that in Insidious with Barbara Hershey. Barbara Hershey has had a ton of work done. Fine, I don't care. But then don't cast her as like the fucking salt of the earth mom.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like Hershey has for sure. I didn't notice Maria Bello. I tend to not notice that stuff.
I think she looks like she's been pulled back a bit.
All right.
So that kind of bugs me. This the other thing that really
bugged
me.
Well, you know, in Hollywood, you don't do it. They're all over you for looking old. You do it. You're Renee Zellweger, and everybody's mad at you for doing it.
I'm not saying anybody should or shouldn't do it. I'm just saying if you're producing a movie where you want me to believe there's a depressed woman that lives in darkness,
yes,
don't have her obviously have had plastic surgery.
That's
fair.
All. It's probably just who they could get. You know, I guess she's not even a name, but I guess she's something of a name.
She's a name. She was starring in that TV. She's a name for that kind of movie.
Yeah, for sure.
But she's from my hometown. Do you know that?
I didn't, Joe.
No, I'm serious.
No, I didn't know that.
Listen, I'm going to just throw this out there.
Uh-huh.
Not a fan of this. That's the second one you've done, and I don't care for. I didn't care for either of them.
How would I know that? You and I are out for lunch, and we're talking about Maria Bello together?
Yes. Now, here's the thing. The other thing that really annoyed me right off the bat in this picture, the daughter character, I forget the actor's name. She did a good job. She was convincing. But
Piper Johnson or something?
Something.
Tracy.
But she plays. This is why I hated Mama. This was the only reason. This was not the only reason, but this was like the key reason I hated Mama.
Yeah.
Hollywood, please stop making main characters who are supposed to be like rock and roll-y or gothy.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It is so fucking obvious that your costume designer goes to Hot Topic,
yeah,
buys three things and some candles that are black, and then goes, this is what a person like this would be into. And it's like, no, that looks like the dorm room of the kid nobody wanted to hang out with when
exactly.
I was in college. It looks dated. It looks like there's blacklight posters in there somewhere. Put a lava lamp up while you're at it.
Let's also not forget her rocker boyfriend.
Yeah.
Whose only rocker characteristic was that he had long hair. And he had as long a hair as I did. It wasn't even that crazy.
Yeah, so she's dating this supposedly like
her name
wild.
Is, because we never seem more incompetent than when we're like, her name's Tracy Johnson or something. Well, let me tell you her name, Teresa Palmer. All right.
You threw a Piper out for her.
I thought, you know, maybe she has a Piper Parabo quality of Coyote Ugly fan.
The boyfriend is in the movie. Her boyfriend is supposed to be like this, like bad boy rocker type. Yet the first scene, like they have sex and she's like, all right, get out.
Yeah.
And he's like, all sensitive. It's like, who's writing these characters?
Yeah.
This guy would be like,
he's like, can I please leave a toothbrush here?
Yeah. It's like, what is this written for?
Yeah.
And
she's telling him he's got to get out. Well, I guess maybe they're trying to play with the stereotypes or something. But
I get
not.
That they're trying to play up, define her as being the loner and emotionally shut off, but then don't have her dating a fucking rock and roll guy.
Right. Have her date a nice guy and yeah,
or
maybe
make
that's too predictable.
Make her like somebody who's obsessed with their job, who does really well at their company or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
The characters, especially for a 79, 80-minute movie where you have plenty of time to develop these characters, the characters were beyond paper thin. My problem with all this stuff, you didn't care about any of them. And really, everyone being depressed in a movie makes the movie miserable to watch. So
yes.
It's a horror movie with no fun in it. The scare scenes, when they came, were effective. You know, I was never scared, but I thought they were done well. The rules of the light thing seemed to kind of come and go.
Right.
Like, okay, so at one point this hand reaches out. They shine a light on it, and the hand starts burning and sizzling. But then in the other scenes, they flash a light and it disappears. So does light burn it and harm it, or does it make it disappear? Pick a lane.
Yeah, that was another problem I had with it, was the science of the film. It just wasn't accurate. It was like, here you've got a supernatural being that clearly has the ability to just go, I'm never going to be in the light, ever, if I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
It can disappear and reappear at will.
Yeah.
Why would it ever walk into light? Why would it ever have to? It wouldn't.
It wouldn't.
It wouldn't. Go live in you know, go up to Alaska for solstice and get, you know.
And the backstory is, you know, I guess spoiler alert is if you give a shit, that this was when the mom, when Maria Bello was in a mental hospital as a little girl, she befriended this other little girl who had, like, translucent skin and couldn't be exposed to light,
which is a real condition.
I know.
And they sell it so poorly in the movie,
so poorly,
that I thought they made it up.
They didn't even do like any really cool flashbacks with it that they easily could have done.
No, then, it's literally just they put a shroud over a little kid.
Yeah,
and they're like, look, it can't be in the light. Yeah, it's terrible.
Then they do an experiment on the kid, which isn't really explained at all what this experiment was, what it entailed. But they hit it with a lot of light, and she died. Then now the girl comes back to haunt Maria Bello, who didn't do the experiment. Why isn't she haunting the people who performed the experiment on her?
This also bothers me about horror when they do this, and I'm glad you brought it up. I can't stand these. This person was a pure soul that got a bad run of luck, and now they're rotten and shitty because of it, and they try to kill people in the afterlife.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the pure soul... If this whole afterlife thing exists, wouldn't the pure soul like go up to heaven where God would be like, oh, my sweet child, I'm really sorry about what happened down there.
Either go to heaven or go after the people who fucked you over, not your only friend when you were a freaky, light-sensitive skin girl.
Yeah, it's a real shit show of a movie. And I was particularly angry because I was very excited to see it. It's got like a 73% or something on Rotten Tomatoes.
Your favorite critic, somehow, Richard Roper, Dick Roper, gave it a 4 out of 4 stars.
I saw that.
People love this movie, and it was a I learned that worldwide this thing brought in almost $200 million.
Did very well. And it's,
on a $10 million budget, and kudos to it.
I'll tell you why I was really mad. I was excited to see it, because any horror fan probably knows, a horror movie getting like 70%, any rating on Rotten Tomatoes, I add 20% to it for horror movies.
Or comedies.
Yeah, so I'm like, this thing is a 90%. I got to see it. I was in a fucking hotel on the road. I rented the goddamn thing in the hotel. I paid $20.99 to see it.
Oh, boy.
$20.99 to see it.
That's tough.
And halfway through it, I was on my phone. I was so fucking bored.
Yeah.
Got room service. That was another $20 easily. That was this fucking thing put me in the hole, $50.
Lights out on Joe's wallet that fateful night, folks. Am I right? And then really,
you're not wrong.
The biggest issue with it, I'm just going to cut to the chase, and if you don't want to know the ending of Lights Out, don't listen to this. The ending, I couldn't stand. Maria Bello, I'll cut to it, is shooting at the ghost. And then surprised that it doesn't work. Her daughter is standing behind the ghost, and yet Maria Bello is shooting at the ghost, which I'm also kind of like, is the daughter didn't even react. Like,
One key detail before you describe the ending that's important. Throughout the movie, the daughter is saying to the mom, you're crazy because you're not taking your pills.
You're right.
The mother refuses to take the pills. We find out later the reason she's not taking the pills is because she's scared of the demon, and when she takes the pills, it makes the demon go away because somehow Maria Bello being lucid closes the door for the demon to come in. So she doesn't take the pills, and then we cut to the end of the movie, and she's trying to kill the ghost with a gun.
Right. So she's on her pill. She does take a bunch of pills at the end of the movie, and it doesn't work this time. Also not explained.
But I don't think she takes them. I think she's about to take them, and the ghost, like, attacks her.
Oh, that's right. The ghost attacks.
Yeah.
So then she points the gun immediately. Like, there's no buildup, no suspense, no nothing. Points the gun at her head, and her daughter, who's watching this, goes, Mom, what are you doing? And she goes, saving our lives. In, like, this badass action movie voice.
Yeah.
Saving our lives.
Terrible.
And then blows her brains out in front of her daughter while her 10-year-old kid's outside, horrified. Then she falls to the ground dead, and the ghost goes away until Lights Out 2. But let's take a look at what this movie's really saying, because now I'm going back to my film school roots with it, Jeepers Creepers and now this. analyzing the shit out of these things. This movie is saying the pills, if you're depressed, pills can make your demons go away, but it's not a permanent fix.
Yeah.
You're destroying your family's life with your depression.
Right.
You're bumming everyone out. You're ruining your children's lives. And the only way to get rid of these demons is to kill yourself.
Right.
Hey, are you depressed? Well, right. Guess what? Everyone around you hates you because right. you're ruining their lives and being annoying by being depressed. So fucking kill yourself is the message of the
sure,
movie.
Sure.
It has to be.
Death is the only escape. That is what it feels like.
Death
it?
Is the only escape.
That
and
is.
It wasn't like a hard R where you're like, wow, that's a fucking dark ending. It's PG-13. And then I read an interview with the director about this, and he's like, oh, that's not what I intended. He's like, I just wanted her to be like a hero, you know, like where she that's not what I intended. And he's like, actually, in Lights Out 2, I'm going to go into how the depression about their mom killing themselves makes the kids depressed, which brings the girl back. So he's just doubling down on it.
Oh, God.
So now they're going to be depressed, which will bring back the demons. Which
Why
will,
would it bring the demon back?
Which will bum out the people in their life. Why would they be fucking with her kids? She doesn't even know them.
And I'll tell you, I've got a problem with any movie where the solution literally is, do me a favor, honey. Take the 10-year-old for the night. I'm going to play nice with the ghost.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, I'm going to go outside in the sun and just take my pills and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's literally what the solution could have been.
Right.
It was such a... Oh, fuck it. All right, Patty, we're out of time. Let's skip the movie review this week because I can't find the goddamn one that I had and I thought it was going to be good. But two thumbs down.
Yeah, two thumbs down.
For Lights Out. Plug-wise, you know, I don't have much going on right now. It's the holidays. Go read my short stories, if you will. Some Severe Situations is the name of the column. It's on the Fangoria website. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, please. Joe DeRosa Comedy on both.
Yeah, and I have absolutely nothing. You know, Twitter, Instagram, the Patrick Walsh. That's it.
Beaut. See you, everybody. This has been brought to you by the Fangoria Podcast Network. It's executive produced by Thomas DeFeo and produced by Ken Hanley. If you want some info about our show, advertising interests, that sort of thing, you email Ken at Fangoria.com.